everybody, boys and girls, people of all ages, and welcome to another episode of Street Fight Radio. I'm your host, Brett Payne, joined by my co-host, Brian Quimby. Every single week, two times a week, we bring to you the number one anarcho comedy radio show on any station across the nation. We do it well every single week, two times a week. Well, not last week, and I apologize for that, but I'm going to make it up. I have an interview show for you scheduled next week, so look forward to it. I'm going to keep it a surprise, but you're going to get three episodes of Street Fight next week to make up for that misstep. We promise. It's going to happen. You get it two times a week, all the time, completely free. All you have to do is subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or Downcast or any of the other podcast apps out there to give us a listen and get us into your stereo or headphones, wherever you listen to us, so that we can spread our message of destroying the government and partying together. Love and acceptance and excommunication of fish monsters like Ted Cruz. So that's what we've been about from day one. And that's what we're here to continue to do, to work and have a dialogue and get ready for some post-America revolutionary comedy that everyone can enjoy for the whole family. And if you are in the Columbus area or in Ohio, a couple hours away, Dayton, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, even Wheeling, you could show up, Wheeling, West Virginia fans, Indiana folks, come check us out. The very first ever live event from Street Fight Radio is happening on June 10th in Columbus, Ohio at Cafe Kerouac, named after, you know, the famous dude, Cafe Kerouac. And it's happening at 10 p.m. Friday night. $5 to get in the door if you got fiat cash, or we'll have the card reader there. It's just going to be $666 to cover all of the transaction fees, and then for us to launder the money into something more untraceable. That's happening. Please bring your friends and family and anyone you know. And thank you for tuning in. I'm so glad to do this. And last night, I think we really spread some insurrection on the airwaves. But I'm feeling more loose tonight.
Me too. Yeah, I'm way more. I'm more laid, but I'm more stoned, to tell you the truth.
That's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. I've just smoked way more weed here. No, I just, you know, last night I listened to the show, and for some reason I was just in this mood of, like, I just really wanted to grab people by the shoulders and yell at them. But now I'm thinking about if we were to get the billionaires and bring them down to our level, like, they would be a complete fish out of water. Could you imagine them trying to use a vending machine if it wouldn't take $100 bills? You know, yeah. How would they get flaming hot Cheetos at work?
It's like undercover boss. Like, they always, yeah. The bosses always put on a fucking show of how, like, oh, I'm goofy too. You know, I don't know how to make fried chicken. It's like, no shit. You're proving my point.
Yeah. But you also can pay someone to make all your food for you. So you don't have to, like, eat a shitty dinner. It's not like you spent all your money on groceries and then you fucked it up one night because you spent too much time trying to squeeze some extra work in. And now you fucked up the dinner, but you got to eat your gross-ass burnt-up, too-much-salt-in-it dinner because of the money issue.
My wife is really into Undercover Boss, and she's got other people into Undercover Boss. So I'm like,
viewing parties?
Well, I mean, no, her and my daughter will watch it together, and you know what? She puts it on because it's relatively unoffensive to me, too. Like, I can just read, but, like, she doesn't understand that it is offensive to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I couldn't sit around for that. I can't stand for that. I would stand up. I wouldn't even be able to sit down. I'd do a side-by-side fucking presentation beside any showing of Undercover Boss. Like, now here is where they're trying to trick you into believing that these people are human. They're not. They've stolen from us. They make a whole bunch. Papa John makes all that extra money at the detriment of everyone else that makes the pizzas for him. You know, this fucking guy doesn't need to have more than one house. He's a fucking dolt.
Like, I'm compelled. Hour, it's
I'm
also
compelled to do that. I've lost many jobs for that, and I've, you know, I mean, been made very. I've made a lot of hospital waiting rooms very uncomfortable when I have to give a side-by-side presentation to something as offensive as Undercover Boss.
Yeah, it is offensive to all my senses because, first of all, it's a commercial for the product, basically. So, like, Modell's Sporting Goods gets a one-hour commercial, and then they have the fucking guts to play commercials during Undercover Boss. It's like, damn, when am I not looking at a fucking brand?
Yeah, I mean, you're tied in, though. This is you've bought in. Welcome to success. This is culture. Fucking, this is the American culture you're in. You're a Modell's man now.
It's a fucking, yeah, it's indistinguishable from the commercials. And then it's like they have the CEO go and he can't do the job, or he or she can never really do the job. You know what I mean? They're always like, oh, you're terrible at this. You can't drive a trash truck. Yeah,
the people, they don't even use their body. They've become like so they have bed sores, most of them, because they're so fucking lazy.
So, yeah. So the conclusion to my show would be, well, you're pretty useless to the operation, sir.
What are you doing here?
Any of this stuff.
OK, so you run a company based on getting these products out the door and you're winded after getting that first pallet together. What fucking use are you then? How did you even get... How are you the expert of this? You can't even put fucking boxes on a pallet.
Yeah. That's the end of my Undercover Boss. But the end of theirs, the boss is always like, I think I'm going to give everybody a raise. And then there's always...
Everybody there's gets always... to eat at the cafeteria for free.
Yeah. Oh, man. I watched a Boston Market one. And like... they made that place look like a pleasant place, though. I mean, it looked miserable at first, but then after the undercover boss had his experience, he was like, you know, I'm going to give people a raise, and I'm gonna make things better for these employees. And then one day I went in there, and like all the tables had a fucking little sign on it that said, like, you do not tip our employees. Like, explicitly telling you not to tip them. And I'm like, this is a terrible work environment. Undercover Boss, you lied to me. And that's exactly what the show really is. It's like nothing changes after Undercover Boss is over. If you went and talked to somebody that's been working at Popeyes for 15 years and like they were there in the pre-Undercover Boss and post-Undercover Boss era, then their job is no different. They're probably still miserable.
Yeah, there's not much. Yeah. Yeah. And those people get to go on and, like you said, pretend like they're a regular person or like, oh, I'm very humbled by this. And then it's just like, then they get to play a Popeye's chicken. It's delicious. And we have a humble CEO.
We put a fake mustache on the CEO and had him go and act like a new employee. And then he bumbled around. He didn't know how to fold a fucking shirt. And it was a disaster. So we fired him. And this is now a co-op. This business is now a co-op.
We figured we can still place the orders every week. You know, why do we need this guy to just sit around and hemorrhage all this cash?
Or like he reveals to the people that he's the undercover boss and they fucking whoop his ass. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you're the one. Yeah, I've been talking about you for a while now.
Yeah, I've been waiting. I've always had so many things wanted to say to you.
You open up your wallet, you unfold, you start unfolding this big ass sheet of paper. You're like, and another thing, okay? Why the fuck was why am I in here limping with an injury? Because you don't have FMLA. How did you get out of this? Why the fuck, just because I make you money, you can't take care of me with your broken ass equipment up in here?
Yeah, he's like, I notice you're like, they'll always have like an understanding. They're like, I understand that the job is hard and I didn't know that, you know, and now I'm going to do what I can to fix it. And then like, dude, they're going to turn these cameras off and you're going to leave and you're never going to think about me again.
Yeah, though, they're like I said, they're going to give you coupons for the cafeteria. They're going to be like, we realize that people that make our food should be able to afford our food, but we can't pay you enough to afford our food, so we're just going to give you our food for free.
Get an employee meal.
You get a fucking $1.13 worth of fast food. That's the cost to the company for your entire fucking meal. And that's what you get. Actually, one of the first guys, man, that really radicalized me when I was like at Abercrombie when I was 20 years old, like young as hell. He packed his lunch every day and he's like, I'm not going to come to work and then give them my fucking money. And I was like, damn, dude, I'm with you about that. Like, I'm on that level. Like, that's when I started packing lunch for myself. I was like, I'm taking over the means of production here. I control what goes into my body, you know. Now all of a sudden I make the decisions. I'm not going to pay you to make the most disgusting pizza possible for me.
Man, I fucking like that guy.
Yeah, he's now a lawyer in California. He was, yeah. But he was a good, but he's still a good bud.
We did it, yeah. But you were, I, the guys I worked with were all like ex-vets, but I was a box maker. They were like Vietnam veterans, and I was a box maker. And we would have these conversations. But like, man, I don't remember any of the stuff about when I worked at the warehouse. I was a temp, so I didn't even go every day. Most of the time I was like, I don't feel like getting up. Because those warehouse jobs are early in the morning when you work first shift.
Yeah, they got to get started. There's a deadline.
They do. They got to fucking get started. But yeah, that undercover boss has been... I don't know, man. That's a disaster.
It's just a part of the world now. It is really. I can't be around it either. It's like when I go to get an oil change or something, and they have regular TV playing. When I saw like the Bethany show for the first time, or even if they just have the Today show on, I'm always just like shocked. Like it's just hard to believe. It's reality. It seems like it's a new Tom Cruise sci-fi movie. Or Will Smith or something, you know, like the type of entertainment that we have that people subscribe to. Regular ass old people, normies. Like you said, and like you said, Facebook for normies is probably filled with a lot more bestiality than for us, like radical type, I guess, safe space, PC culture type people. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
their world is so fucked up. Like, I look at. They complain about feminism and all this shit, but like what comes on the regular TV, the way that they treat women on there is just so fucking revolting to me. It's like so naked and weird. The masculinity shit, all of the propaganda is just like on 100 because it's like regular, the over the airwaves TV. Like that's what people are getting, a steady diet of like Dances with the Stars and shit.
It's the free shit, man. That's what they'll give you for free.
The free.
And then you
can just
jack in to some cable to get something, you know?
If you want something with nuance, you got to go to AMC. You're going to have to pay for that TMC. You're going to have to – Bravo's going to cost you more. But regular old free TV is going to be, like, toxic.
There's more channels now, though, like over the air now that it's digital. I almost want to get an antenna and just kind of live off of that TV, you know, like, OK, fine. We can have TV, but you only get the antenna channels because I had a lot of years where I didn't have cable TV and you know, times where you didn't have access to the Internet. Like, I don't have cable now, but I also have the Internet so I can watch anything that I want to watch.
Well, yeah, there was a period in the early 2000-ish where I'd always have a time where the cable would get shut off for a few months and you'd have to be able to live on DVDs because that meant Internet was gone too. But Internet wasn't as important in like 2003, 2004. So it was like, shit, we got Simpsons seasons on DVD. We got Lost on DVD. So we'll wait until bonus time to pay that cable bill, that Internet bill.
Yeah, we would. I mean, if you're like back in the summer where I did the most acid, we didn't have cable at all. And we watched.
Yeah, I mean, it's way better than cable. Acid is way better than cable.
I didn't think about that choice that I was making, but like we would watch I feel like we watched a ton of TV because it got fucking so weird. Like if you're up at 5 in the morning on like Sunday morning, there's like an you know, there's like agricultural news on. We're like,
that's true.
Well,
that's also the last time I had cables when I would do mescaline, and that shit lasts for about 24 hours. I would have to like take a whole day off where I would just be like, this Saturday, dude. Anybody wants to do it with me, let me know. I'm going to go pick up. But, like, we're going to be up till 6 a.m., and whatever comes on that cable is what we're going to be into, unless you want to go skateboard. You got to bring your own, though.
Yeah. Well, it's like when you're coming down, when we would be coming down on the acid, but you're still, like, tripping. You know what I mean? But the end is nigh.
Yeah.
The crash is coming.
You can tell, like, you were really peaking. Everybody was, like, on another level, and now you can kind of see what's happening. You can feel the descent coming. You know, you're vibing, but the descent is in the air.
Yeah, you're all like, let's just fucking, right now, let's smoke cigarettes and watch TV. Let's just do that. And then you just sit there, and when you're so constrained, but you're also, your brain is fucked up on drugs, you'll just be like, oh, this is fine. I can watch this.
Yeah.
You know, I can watch the agricultural news.
That's true. I mean, and also, I mean, with a lot of drugs and dissociative shit, you're plugged into everything. It's like taking all the wires in your brain and just plugging them into each other. So I always get something out of even like children's program on fucking PBS at 4:30 in the morning. You know, I'm like, what does this mean? You know, how is this changing the future? You know, what messages are being sent here? You know, like, you are just so open to everything.
You want to hear something really?
Love that cable TV, man. I want to get some. I want to just get like a fucking water hose full of cable TV and just suck on that thing.
Me too. I do. I wouldn't mind having a little bit of cable TV for a while.
Yeah, just like, oh, I just want to bask in it, man. Just spray it all over me.
I'm withdrawing. I need to flip channels. I need to fucking just not watch anything and just scroll through the guide while random noise plays.
But there was also a lot of good-ass drug shows, like Syphilin Ollie is an early one. Did you ever watch that? I mean, that was a great one when you were just fucking out of your mind, and then you're trying to figure out why socks are talking to each other. And then later than that, Wonder Showzen was huge. Like, we would always end up getting that. Like, you're just coming off, we would spend 4 hours trying to get across the city during a snowstorm while we're on mushrooms, and then we'd all sit down and then watch fucking Wonder Showzen or something.
You know what made a profound effect on me when I was on acid once, and this is probably when I'm 17 years old, and I'm at my friend's mom's house. She's on vacation, and I saw ECW wrestling for the first time on the public access channel, because they would just buy time on the public access channel. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, that would be jarring.
Yeah. It was just the first time I'd ever seen somebody get whopped in the head with a stick or fall off of a balcony through 15 tables and stuff like that. And I was just like, man, this is crazy. And that was a discovery that I came up with when I was tripping. Yeah, the other weird thing is, like, when I was on a lot of opioids, when I was taking Vicodin and Percocet, like, every single night, on Friday nights, I would take, like, 15 of those fucking things, and I would just stay up all night. But the difference in, like, my mindset was, like, I would get to the end of the night, and it would be 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be watching Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
It's such an ugly place. Like, where you put your mind in, like, the ugliest fucking place. I wonder what it's like to watch Bill O'Reilly when you're tripping, I guess. I never tried that.
Well, I mean, as a come down, though, I mean, I guess I could definitely get into that. I mean, I would always test myself, too. That's how I kind of feel sometimes with these people. Like, it's just embarrassing because I would take a bunch of hallucinogens and watch, like, The Cell or Requiem for a Dream or Pink Floyd The Wall. Like, I remember that being fucking really intense. Like, those just really, you're just challenging yourself so hardcore psychologically on a lot of that shit. But I want to tie this into a picture that you sent me, and I wanted to talk about this on the air. But you sent me a photo that I don't have up in Street Fight style. I, of course, I'm not prepared for this. But it was a clipping from a newspaper on the old Facebook that said a bunch of kids were busted for buying packets of Morning Glory seeds and various other seeds, taking them because they had an LSD-like effect. Here, I got it right here. NBC4, kids are eating seeds for plants like sleepy grass, Hawaiian baby, wood rose, and blue Morning Glory, which officials say, when ingested, closely resembles the effects of LSD. And the headline is teens using plant seeds to get high.
Fuck those teens, man. Smart ass kids, I'll tell you that. I mean,
well, okay, maybe, but here's what I have to say. Why didn't some adult just take them and see what the fuck that did? Like, that's the difference. That's with my parenting style that's going to be different, is that any bag of illegal shit that comes home, I'll just take it and figure out what the fuck to do from there, you know?
That's true. I mean, you shouldn't, if a kid took it and lived, then you shouldn't be afraid to take it. Although, yeah, like, that's kind of a shitty policy if your kid gets into coriacidin.
You know, oh, what, yeah,
I mean? Because you, well, don't want to fucking ever do that.
Your kid's susceptible to some bunk-ass drugs. Your kid buys brown acid or something. It's like, God, you fucking dummy. You don't hang out with anybody cool or that cares about your well-being?
Exactly. No,
this is funny, though. To me, this doesn't make any sense because it's like, okay, so if these have the same effects as LSD and you can go down to the Strader's Garden Center and buy a packet of 100 of them for $1.99 to $3.99, like, where the fuck was all my friends at to let me know what's going on with that? Because I would much rather do that than buy a six pack of beer.
The fact that nobody thought to tell me about this really gets on my nerves because, like, I feel like I'm fairly familiar with the legal highs.
Yeah.
You know?
And I know about some of the cactus cuttings. There's some cactuses that you can buy that I know, sand something, cactuses and shit. I'm familiar with most, even like the legal hacks for getting high. Kava and all that shit, man. Kratom and the rest of it. But like these I never heard about.
No, and I would do this. I mean, you make a
tea. I love LSD
out of it too. I do too. I like LSD myself. I'm not. I would never badmouth LSD, and if I could get it
but
in
think
a natural
about it.
Way, I would be into that, man. If I could just run into a damn garden store and buy, I would have like a fucking, like a container like people keep of flour on their counter. I would have one of those full.
I'd have one of those seeds. I'd have one of those cookie jars that it would be a pig, and then when you opened it up, it'd be like, it would oink at you every time you reached in there. Like, oh, you're doing too much Morning Glory, you little piggy. You just love getting twisted on that fucking Morning Glory. Yeah, for me, it's like, I'd much rather, instead of having a bachelor party and we go out and spend like $16 a shot on some fucking bourbon, like, we could just pay $4 for a bag full of ecstasy, or like LSD seeds. Yeah, I for me, like, I would have just eaten them and been like, you know, this isn't shit. You guys are full of yourselves.
This is where, like, I get really controversial. My drug policy ideas get really controversial. But, like, maybe there's something to nudging. I'm not saying I don't want to have like commercials like, hey, kids, do weed, but maybe nudging the drug kids towards marijuana because it seems to satisfy people.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, like, it's pretty harmless, you know.
It's like a padded room. It's like the padded room of drugs. And, you know, to be honest, I will say, at this age, if you're just going to the store and stealing seed packets, you're probably also stealing butane or lighter fluid or gasoline and like inhaling that as the drug. And I think maybe if they were like, hey, you know what? Instead of sniffing on this gasoline, take one of these marijuana gummy bears and
just fucking be happy with it.
Yeah,
just
after
be
the
happy
effects
with
of the. After the effects of the gummy bear settle in, you can think about your decision to inhale gasoline, you know, and kind of redirect where you ended up here.
Yeah, I don't want my kids to huff gas, man. I huff gas. That's probably part of the reason I'm stupid, like a little bit stupid.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Or
it's part of your reason, growth.
Yeah, I mess up sometimes when I talk. It's like, shit.
I stutter a little. I think that some of that gasoline makes me stutter a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, I did a lot of gas huffing. I can't fucking help it. Nobody would push. Nobody told me that weed would have been a preferable choice, you know? They treated
well, it wasn't
weed
available.
Like, no, well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't easily available, that's for sure. You know, air duster is a weed substitute that is 10 times more fucking dangerous than weed. If your kid is doing inhalants, I mean...
And you can run the fuck out of the store with some, like, it's right there in the store. You can just run out with air dusters and whipped creams and shit and just be done with it and go get rocked on it.
They card for spray paint now. You can't huff paint anymore.
Glory days are over, man. Used to be a guy could just go do donuts in a parking lot with a car with a V8 engine in it and sniff on some spray paint. Can't do it no more. They've taken away all of that freedom from us.
I mean, I don't know if it's a bad thing that they card for spray paint. My theory here is that, like, they would be so happy with weed. I think less people would smoke cigarettes if you were just like, look, you know, how about if your vice was just weed and then you could let them grow it themselves, like, you know, the whole thing.
You think that, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think we should funnel some people into that direction. I mean, that should be part of our...
No, not funnel. It's a gentle nudge. I don't know how...
You show up.
Like,
if you're an adult and you have weed on you and you're like, you little fucking shit dicks getting into a bunch of bullshit back here. One of you motherfuckers is going to die off of this, okay? Just get these regular fucking drugs, okay? It's weed. Everybody fucking does it. That has this impulse, it'll chill you the fuck out so that you don't do more stupid shit.
Just start a dialogue
coach.
With the kids.
You have to pull a coach on him. You have to be I'm going to coach you. Listen.
Start a dialogue with...
Don't breathe this fucking toxic shit in.
Start a dialogue with the kids that are playing a pass out game in fourth grade, man.
Yeah.
Start a fucking early dialogue.
Any Elevator Charlie kids, you need to talk to them. Immediately. Yeah. Don't shame them. Let them come forward. Like, yeah, you like to take risks. You're a psychonaut is what we call ourselves now.
Yeah, because that was fucking everything I can... All I can think about is that, like, when I was in, like, third and fourth grade, I used to, like, when I yawned, I would lean my head all the way back and then sit up forward real fast so I'd get a fucking head rush. I'm like, this is fucking weird, man. in school. Like, so any way that I could get it, I would have done it. If somebody would have said, like, hey, man, you can just toot on joints for the rest of your life and, like, have a semi-normal existence, I'd be like, all right, okay, I'll make that deal. I'll go with that.
Well, you know, honestly, for me as well, like, I really wasn't a childhood drug experimenter. I got most of my kicks from vandalism. That was my rush, and, like, skateboarding and extreme rollerblading and shit. Like, that was, and snowboarding. I was more of an adrenaline junkie. But once I moved, like, I left my house as soon as I turned 18 years old. I ran in the middle of the night. And as soon as I had a computer to myself and didn't have people looking at my search history to police me, when I found sites like Irrawid and was able to get an understanding of, like, what normal people, how the amount that people were doing of drugs and, you know, things like that, it made me more comfortable. And I was able to use a lot of that stuff safely, you know, and in a way that was way more comfortable. I mean, I never have any bad problems. Even when I did acid, I one time stayed up in the middle of the night and the entire room filled with black smoke and turned into a Grim Reaper, but it didn't scare me. Like, I was just like down with them. I was, like, ready to go. Like, I felt like I was getting recruited into the coolest gang. So, like, for some people that might've been a bad trip. I'm just kind of I don't know. I guess I'm more of a positive type guy. But for me, like, I really was a scientific thing where it's like, you know, after I tried weed, especially because the way it was demonized as a kid and all bring it dare and all that shit, it was like, well, fuck this. I'll try the other stuff, too. Might as well.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, they lied about it and everybody else is doing it and they're okay.
Yeah, I think my thing was like, oh, I'm kind of open to figuring out. I'd like to know for myself what this stuff. And the thing about Dare when I was a kid was that they'd be like, sure, this stuff feels good. And that's really all I had to hear. You know, like as soon as somebody pointed me in the direction of something that feels good, whether it was drugs or sex or any of that stuff, I was like, I feel like I got to have that. I want to have that. If there's things that feel good, I want to be involved with them.
Yeah, that's something I want to be a part of. Absolutely.
Yeah. So they kind of did turn me on. I've always said that, like, if nobody had ever talked to me about drugs, who knows if I would have got involved with them. You know, like if nobody, I understand, like, going to the public school that I was at and stuff, I probably would have ran into other people who were using them. But like if fifth grade Dare didn't make such a fucking big deal out of them, maybe I wouldn't have been so excited to do them. You know,
yeah.
Dare fucking, they did Dare every week for a year, and then at the end they took us to a rock and roll concert that was by a cop that played guitar on a guitar that looked like a fucking gun. And like, shit, yeah, man, they just
Dare
put a lot of emphasis on drugs.
To keep
and I was like,
a kid
fuck
off drugs. Dare to keep a kid off drugs. We need help. We need Dare. I had the video. I won it when I was a kid. Actually, I was a good friend with the class bad kid. His name was Karan. And he stuffed the ballot box for me so that I would win the, what was the name
Hot
of the
Pursuit
band? Hot
They're
Pursuit.
They're called Hot Pursuit.
I won the Hot Pursuit prize pack for Dare in my classroom because I had someone rig the ballot box in my favor. And I got a free VHS copy of their concert.
It's a bunch of fucking
shit.
Bunch of goofy fucking dad cops doing like covers of songs that were like anti-drug songs, but like just even making the big fucking deal about it. And I'll tell you another like really pivotal time for me when it came to drugs was like when I was in the seventh grade in my health class, the teacher was teaching about drugs and they passed around one of those display cases that had different like simulations of different kinds of drugs, you know. So they had a joint in there, it had some pills, it had what looked like a tab of acid, all that stuff. And the teacher went to pass it around and he was like, don't steal the stuff, it's not real. And people still stole them. I was like, fuck, these drugs got to be fucking great.
Yeah, they're a hot commodity. These people are risking expulsion.
Yeah, they seemed so fucking great. Like everybody was amped about like they were so excited just to even steal fake drugs, just to be like, maybe he's lying about the fakeness. We can steal the joint and try to smoke it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, give it a shot.
But yeah, that just makes it seem so exciting, you know, to me. I guess that maybe Dare scared a few. It might have scared some people away. I mean, people's attitudes about drugs are definitely shaped by things that were taught in Dare in the fifth grade. That is for sure.
Yeah, from the general public, I mean, most people did shy away and just follow the rules and shit and, like, get by doing that.
I mean, even the people that use marijuana, like, that's where all that info comes from, where, like, yeah, I mean, marijuana's one thing. It's goofy, you know. It'll make you want to eat pretzels and cheese or something like that. But, like, it's not cocaine, which is legitimately, like, really dangerous. But, like, I've been in rooms with people doing a bunch of cocaine, and, like, I'm sorry, it doesn't seem fucking dangerous to me. I mean, I've done cocaine and it wasn't dangerous, but like even when you look at it as an outsider and you see the people doing it, you're like, oh, fuck it. These people aren't gonna do shit tonight. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's hard to be not on it because it's embarrassing. But when you're on it together with other people, I mean, it's hardcore. Like you're living the dream. Like you're all together, like vibing so hardcore together, but it's only because you're doing a bunch of drugs together. I mean, that's really what ties you together. And it's kind of weird
fucking,
to me.
That drug is such a fucking, that drug is like, if it was legal, we would have such a larger amount of bullshit in the atmosphere. Like if cocaine was just readily available for people, like if they had Starbucks for cocaine and people were just doing it all the time, I think, that's how capitalism would really win, you know?
I mean, do you think that'd be the best implementation for it? Is you get like a $5, just like a bump of it?
A sniz, a little bump of sniz.
Just a bump, a $5, one bump, please. And then they just give you like on a 100% right recycled eco-friendly key. They serve a little bump and you can get a different, you know, you can get Acapulco gold or something maybe from the Caribbean. So you can get it from around the world. Maybe a little pink, a little more fish scaly, cost you a more premium price.
It's just so, can I just say, it's just so like, it's weird that it's as illegal as it is because
I thought it was going to be wild. I thought it was going, I was expecting Scarface. I thought, from all the movie stuff, it seemed like Natural Born Killers, from all the drug movie stuff, man, had me thinking that like I was gonna, it was gonna be a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It was way more disappointing to do.
I'm gonna
it.
Fucking, but I'm fun. Gonna snort this cocaine and I'm gonna turn into a fucking the real party animal. That's when I'm gonna put the fucking lampshade on my head. Is when I do this cocaine.
The problem is though is, in a way, I feel like a lot of drugs also make you question so much of your life and what society is that I kind of see the way that squares are scared of them as kind of legitimate. I mean, because if they maybe like if they did smoke weed one time or did coke and were or heroin and were able to have like that kind of way to get away from their life and what's motivating them. In like a capitalistic Americana, follow the rules, cops are great type of way. Like they, you know, it's just no one escapes from it. No one escapes from question. It seems like nobody that does. I don't know. I guess there's a lot of people doing drugs on Wall Street and shit, but that's just because they're like assholes controlling Arnold Schwarzenegger type assholes. But I think for regular people, I mean, you just realize the futility of life and you, that's when you start to be like, fuck this, man. We don't need to be making somebody else money.
That's why beer and Xanax are really, that's the most preferable kind of drugs because that, because any breakthrough you have when you're on them, you can't remember.
Yeah, alcohol eventually, alcohol is like spraying a Mister bottle at a candle. Eventually the fucking light goes out if you keep drinking more alcohol. Like it just shuts you the fuck off. Like it's, it doesn't expand in a way, or doesn't give you like this open space. It literally sends you further down a tunnel until you pass out.
It really is. Alcohol is funny in that it's like a drug. It is the drug where people will go out and do some bad shit on it. You know, it's the most likely thing that somebody's going to go out and do some bad shit on. Like every crime has, most crimes have alcohol involved. Most of them.
And if people were on cocaine, LSD, marijuana, mushrooms after a hockey team lost a game, they would just be like, well, you know what, man? If you really think about it, the other team had as much of a stake in it, and we should respect, you know, their ability to win. And, you know, maybe we're just more able to handle the loss at this point, and we can internalize it and learn from it. Like that's not
right.
You know what, you're not gonna get like once you get turned into like a drunken baby where like whatever makes you the maddest takes over, you know, that's a different headspace than being like disconnected from reality where it's like hockey game is almost meaningless at this point. It's a short amount of time that means nothing in the history of the world.
What about all the other minutes when there was still a possibility that they could win and we were enjoying ourselves together? Let's go back to that feeling, you know?
Yeah. That also existed. Time is formless. It moves neither forward or backwards. We're living each moment, and right now we can enjoy the fact that we got to see this playoff game. That's what someone on mushrooms is going to say. That's not what someone in alcohol that loses is going to say.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not being totally...
We've been on alcohol. I'm on alcohol right now too. I mean, I love it, man. It brings a lot out of me, but it is like you got to put the fucking saddle on it, man. You got to be able. You don't want to be sloppy. There's people that are good at drinking, meaning that they can drink a copious amount of it, but it becomes a problem when they do so, or they become sloppy or stupid or embarrassing. But if you can grab onto it and ride that white lightning to greatness, I mean, then you've really mastered it. But it's something, it is the most cantankerous and dangerous of the substances that I fuck with.
Yeah, Brett and I were actually pro the powdered alcohol when that was going to come out. I was like, yeah, let's see what it does, man. Let's see how that stuff works. You know?
Yeah, dosing is an issue with alcohol. A lot of people have problem with dosing. Like, they don't understand. They don't have a baseline of when they should say no, you know. And people get this idea that if they feel good after having some alcohol, they should have some more. But they got to, you know, you lose track of your timeline, you know. Eventually, yeah. You get to that point, you're like, I feel so great, I'm going to drink more. But it's like, no, you have to stop. When you feel the greatest, you have to stop. You're going to keep – the rocket is still taking off. Like, you've still got more time. Like, you're going to get drunker and drunker and drunker.
Yeah, you can always get more drunk.
By the time you realize you feel fantastic, you're just going to get drunker based upon how you got to that point.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always a little like, well, and that tends to be a problem with cocaine too. And even when I was taking a lot of painkillers, I would buy such weak doses so I could convince myself I didn't need it that I would, you know, you're taking 16 in a night.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even fucking need these. I just take Vicodin 5s. It's like, well, 16 of them is.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you should buy the family pack. Get the big boy pill, Brian. Just buy the big one. These are just Tic Tacs, really. I was going to see you take the whole box. I mean, you eat your Skittles one at a time. I just pour the whole bag in my mouth. I mean, it's just a difference between us.
Yeah. It's like I should have just got one big Skittle, you know?
Yeah. You could have got one gigantic 100 milligram Skittle instead of 25 milligram Skittles.
Yeah, but it was always like I could just get a little bit more buzzed, and that's the shittiest thing about them. That's why you gotta. That's why with the even like if you had the attitude about like these things can get out of control, but you don't have to tell people that they're like TNT, you know. Stay away from them. They're just dangerous because as soon as you tell there are some kids that as soon as you tell them to stay away from them, they're dangerous. They're gonna run straight to them, man. There are kids that like to light stuff on fire. I was a kid that liked to light stuff on fire, man. And it's just, I mean, that's just a fact of life, dude. People like to light shit on fire. People like to do drugs. There's just bad. And like, you have to deal with those kids that you would call bad kids. Somebody has to deal with them and like on their level, instead of trying to fit them into some kind of perfect space that you think where they'll be able to function, because like otherwise you're just setting up a kid to go to jail. You know what I mean? You're going to expel him from school and he's going to go to jail.
Yeah, that's where we're at, though, man. That's why people don't. That's why we don't. I mean, I don't know, man. That's the tough conversation to have, is the way that punishment is handed out in society. It creates so many problems. You know, we take people down for the rest of their lives for making mistakes, for having records and things like that. It's the same. It's just I don't know. It works against any logic for me. Like, I would think that we would try to want to help people get back to making everything smooth over again. Like, we don't want to put them in further desperate situations. That's the same true. But that's the same way when I look at like shitty jobs, though. It's like, why is it cleaning up shit and doing trash and stuff is seen as a terrible job that nobody wants to do, and so therefore we get to pay nobody to do it? And then we have these fucking assholes that can just go move numbers on spreadsheets and answer phones that never have to deal with trash and stuff. Like, my commie shit that I talk about, my anarchy shit, I'm running the fucking trash tuck. I got the goddamn Rubbermaid gloves under the fucking sink. I'm ready to go. Like, I'll chip in on that shit. I'll cut the fucking grass, do the weeds. Like, I think people got to chip in on that shit. It's just necessary. It's a part of life, you know, and that's what we're going to have to do when we stop relying on the state to do everything for us. But, like, these foolish-ass fucking people that live off Walmart and BJ's Wholesale Club and shit that just think that we can shit all over the people that take care of us, man, I'm not about that in life at all.
Yeah, if you give enough to our Patreon, Brett will actually take your trash out and get rid of it for you.
Yeah. I'll take your shit. I'll do something with it.
Yeah, just get rid of it, man. I'm telling you. That you're always like you choose the taking the trash out thing, which is a smart tactic, because it's like, I'll take the trash out, and people are like, well, shit, there's a guy that's going to do the trash right there already. Boom. Let's move on to the next problem. You know, there's probably 99 more of him that'll do the trash. I mean, the guys that do the trash now probably don't mind doing the trash.
No, you know? I know they don't.
You just give them some money.
They're kings, man. They're kings and queens. Any of the men and women that do the trash, man. I think they deserve more. They should be fucking homeowners. Anybody that does the trash should be walking into a fucking house that they own themselves, is how I feel.
Yeah, now that the state doesn't do it anymore and it's contracted out, the people that end up doing it actually aren't making too much, because I think a lot of it's contract work. It's like, fuck, man, this contract work is the shittiest situation that you can get involved in. I gotta say, there's a kind of a hierarchy of shitty situations, and one is contract work, and then right above that is salary. Like them talking people into fucking salary, where it's like, no, you're going to work 80 hours a week, but this check is always guaranteed, you know? So for the week you don't work 80 hours, it's like, fuck, there are no weeks where I don't work 80 hours.
Yeah, more often than not, it seems like I'm putting in over 40 here.
Yeah, pay me by the fucking hour. They shouldn't be even allowed to switch you to salary. You should be able to be like, okay, well, I'm going to choose to be the by the hour person. You'll pay me by the hour. You can pay other people fucking salary.
Sure.
You're going to pay me by the hour. But yeah, the contract work thing is real fucked up, because like FedEx contracts so much of their shit out, you know? We talked about that last week.
Yeah, that's the work environments we're in, though, and that's where people are at. And that's where I don't want them to be, and that's what I feel like. I think that a lot of people that talk about issues like government, talk about issues, you know, regarding labor and stuff, like, they don't consult regular people. That's really all I want to do. I know that I have the comfortable place of choosing a career that involves just making people laugh and talking out loud. But for Christ's sakes, no one is out here speaking up for people that do that shit. And I know that it has to happen. Somebody has to get the fucking food out of the ground. You know, like, we can't ignore that. These people, these online commies, people that call themselves fucking Leninists, or people that follow Proudhon, and people that just live by some theoretical context online, and it's like they never set up a space where post-revolution they have to dig their fucking hands in the dirt. And that's not me. Like, I'm definitely drawing a line in the sand when it comes to that. Like, I'm chipping in on the work. Everybody has to fucking work. But, like, we can do it. We can put our efforts towards something that benefits us all and doesn't pay rich kids like Donald motherfucking Trump enough money to become the fucking president. Like, that's the life I'm about, you know? Like, I'm definitely down to dragging motherfuckers like him down to the fucking rice fields Pol Pot style.
Yeah, Donald fucking Trump. Yeah, Donald Trump, he's the nominee now. So it's Trump against Hillary Clinton. That is what we've made. That's what's been created.
That's embarrassing.
We put our heads together and we came up with these two. We should be ashamed. We should really be ashamed of ourselves for this one. We let this happen. This happened on all of our watch. I know we're not all going to take credit for it. It's like, I didn't have anything to do with it. It's like, yeah, you did. We're all here. None of us are doing anything about it.
Yeah, and, you know, Brian and I are assholes all the time, but, you know, a lot of you could pick up the fucking slack out there. You know, I know that we have a lot of loyal people that listen to us and I know are doing the work, but everybody else seems fucking okay with this. Like, this is a cause for alarm. And, you know, if you came to me like, I'm really fucking worried about what America's doing right now, you know I'd be right on there with you, but people aren't even bothered by this shit. And you're right. I mean, it does fall on everybody else that just sits around and doesn't give a fuck about what happens.
Well, I mean, it falls on me too. I always feel, I feel super responsible for stuff like this, you know, where it's like, shit, what, I mean, is there anything I can do? But I know, I mean, like, the other people, the scary thing about when you feel responsible for this stuff is the other people that felt responsible for it were like Lee Harvey Oswald and shit. So you're like, well, I don't want, don't put me in that crew, you know?
Yeah, I am also that way as well. I don't see my life, for me, I don't know how, you know, to a violent takedown, not until it's necessary. I feel like for me, Trump doesn't, you know, I know that people say it's privileged to say Trump doesn't feel like a threat. But, and you know, the other rest of the government can do a pretty good job fucking up whatever the president wants to do. So if Donald Trump gets in there and he starts doing some like some really fascist overlord type shit, I mean, we have to just fight it as we do, like with guns on the street, with bloodshed, with full revolution, I guess. I mean, that's the only thing you can do at that point. But I just don't, you know, that just doesn't feel like the world we're heading towards for me, to be honest.
No, Donald Trump is, I mean, if he got to be president, it would be mostly, like, the only thing is, like, he speaks for you and he's, it's going to be embarrassing, you know. Who knows what he'd be able to get done, but I don't think he'd be able to get much done, you know. Making me, I'm not worried that he's a Hitler. He doesn't seem like a genius or anything.
Yeah.
I'm just not worried about the guy. And like I
don't
said,
think he can
I'm
get
actually,
enough people to build the wall. I don't think he can get enough people to build the wall. I don't think he can get people to build gas chambers.
I'm actually keeping a tally, Brett, of people who call me privileged for not voting for Hillary Clinton. And
okay.
If 100 people says it to me between now and the election, or 100 different times, if I hear it, I'm voting for Trump. I think
yeah.
That's
okay.
That's my threat. That's and listen, some people have said that that's like throwing a baby temper tantrum, and I'm like, well, then that's what I'm doing, you know.
And check, can't help it. That's one. I put that at one towards the 100. We are 1% of the way towards me voting for Donald Trump. Then, yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, what about the privilege of voting for someone like Hillary Clinton that says there needs to be more research done about marijuana and has in the past went on and supported one of the most disgusting pieces of legislation in regards to crime. The crime bill and all that stuff. I understand Bernie did it. I don't give a shit about that. Hillary Clinton was there. Her husband, Bill Clinton, was the president at the time. And, you know, it must be nice to say, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton, even if that means we're going to continue doing stop and frisk, and we're going to continue doing all of this targeting for Muslims, and we're going to continue all of this oppression around the globe. We're going to continue to spend money on paramilitary groups and undercover wars. We're going to send dirty bombs in Fallujah. You know, a continuation of what Obama did should be, for anyone that is a thinking or reasoning or rational human being, unacceptable. I just don't think that you can, you know, I understand the excitement about Obama being the president, and I appreciate the way that people got to see that and experience that, but the results and what happened are unacceptable still to me. I don't give a shit about any of the other stuff. The amount of murder, death, destruction, and oppression that it comes under people that are Democrats is a privilege to vote, to say like, well, we just need to forget about that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, there is also not living in Syria or Yemen. It's like, well, you have a privilege where a drone's not going to fly over your head and blow up some house that's on the same street as yours. That's also a kind of privilege that I think all Americans really have. So far, they haven't used one here, and they say they're not going to, but I don't believe anything they say anymore, you know?
Yeah, and I just hate to see,
they're all clowns. They're all clowns down there in Washington. I can't stand them.
Obamacare, you know, putting, for someone that wants to, that is a stay-at-home dad and is a one-income household, and to add $400 a month of expenses into my budget in the name of healthcare is just completely asinine. And that's not, I don't want more of this at all. Like, I don't appreciate Obama's tactics or opinions on Keystone XL pipeline. you know, I guess it's a shade better than Mitt Romney. Like, I will always concede that, but I'm not going to support it, and I don't want that to count. I really, for me, I'm going to be so simplistic about it in the way is, like, if nobody showed up to the war, how would we have a war? And that if nobody showed up to vote, how would they say they had any fucking power? If nobody selected them, if nobody selected Donald Trump and nobody selected Hillary Clinton, what fucking authority would they be able to run on? That's what I want to know. I want to test those waters.
I mean, not many. I don't think many people are going to. I think turnout's going to be pretty low this time just because nobody's really inspired by either one. I mean, we're all inspired by them, but we hate them. That's the thing. And so, like, it's just two of the most hateable people in the world running against each other. It's beautiful, really. It's beautiful in a strange way. And, like, having Donald Trump running for president also is, like, I wasn't going to vote in the election anyway. So having somebody interesting in it is, that's at least something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of intrigue to it. I know that he can be an asshole, and I you know, we're going to have to create a disruption, I guess, if it becomes president. Like, it's going to be a constant battle against him. But, you know, I mean, there really wasn't any other options. Ted Cruz or whoever the fuck it is, like, on the Republicans, were all awful people. So
he got too slowed. Ted Cruz got too slowed.
Yeah, I did want to report on this. I wanted to report on this because, you know, Street Fight, maybe some of you that just found out about us don't know, but we've been around for 5 years now, and July will be our five-year anniversary on the airwaves in Columbus, Ohio on WCRS. And when we started, literally the demo show that we sent to WCRS to show what we did to get on the airwaves, we suggested that wherever John Kasich was at, somebody should be throwing a pie or tomatoes or some of that old school type of political discourse that we used to hear about in our textbooks when someone would take a rotten head of lettuce and just smash it on John Kasich's head for what he said about, like, teachers and shit. So I wanted to say I really did feel like this is us. This is, like, our kind of discourse, and this kind of gives me a lot of promise because this wasn't necessarily happening even back in 2012. Tom Lamas from ABC News reports, rough day for Cruz. At last stop, a man pulled the too slow handshake trick on him, then shouted, "Cruz looked like a fish monster." And this is exactly what someone like Ted Cruz deserves.
Yeah.
This is the easiest way to get rid of, like, a Donald Trump, is if we all turn our backs, if we never show up to his things, and if we clown him every time we see him and we tie his shoelaces together when he's on his helicopter.
Too slow. Doing a give me a five. Oh, too so slow embarrassing. Is fucking brutal. That is brutal as hell.
You feel so betrayed when someone does that, too. It's like, I know in the scheme of things, this means nothing, but right now, I'm fucking burnt to the core. My skin's on fucking fire right now. I'm thinking about tearing your throat out, Roadhouse style.
Yeah, there's too much shame involved with getting too slow.
Oh, God. You want to take that empty hand and just slap that person in the fucking face.
Yeah. I wish the guy would have done the thing where he does his hair, too. Like, he pushes the side of his hair back with his hand.
Oh, yeah. Licks his pinky and thumb and does an eyebrow reshaping real quick.
Oh, my God. He said he looks like a fish monster. He does fucking look like a fish monster, though. Yeah, that's the thing about Ted Cruz.
It's the elasticity in the skin. It looks like the neck could actually, like, extend for, like, you know, maybe 60 inches or something. Like, he has one of those type of snapping turtle heads where, like, that skin all of a sudden becomes a danger because you're in within striking range of his razor sharp jaws.
It's just so much fucking skin. That's the problem with it.
Yeah,
the guy
too much.
Just has, like, it's a lot of skin. He looks like a fucking pantyhose doll. His face looks like those fucking pantyhose doll from, like the pantyhose dolls that, like, grandmas had in their house. Or even, like, Spitting Image. There's this old show, the Land of Confusion video by Genesis.
I don't those recall guys. That.
It's the, yeah. I mean, actually, Ted Cruz's head just looks like a grocery bag full of flour to me.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty square. It's like a Oogie Boogie filled with worms and dirt and creepy crawlies type situation. He is the world's most disgusting man. It's quite astonishing that, you know, once again, how could someone... I mean, unless he has supernatural powers, how could he honestly get that much attention and attraction? To me... Like, I saw him with Carly Fiorina. Did you see when he was trying to take hands with her to raise it in the air and she was, like, fighting him?
Yeah. Yeah.
It looked like, I think what was going on there, some sort of tentacle came out of his palm and, like, dug its way into her wrist and was, like, doing some sort of transmutation or mogrification ceremony there.
Is he a fucking reptilian failure? It's like, fuck, man. Yeah.
He's a hybrid. He's like a demi-reptilian. He's half human, half reptilian. He's like when Zeus would go off and fuck some like regular old human broad, and then they'd have this like Hephaestus type kid that had a disability. That's
like
what
Hercules.
He is.
Like fucking yeah. Hercules. They would have a
He's
Hercules.
A halfling. He fell from grace. Yeah. He's Loki here. He's like the half breed that they're kind of like, ah, I mean, you got a fishy hereditary gene pool, kid.
Everybody from his fucking past hates him, you know? And that's one of the more interesting things about him to me is, like, even people from his past, like, feel like this guy's running for president and people from his past are like, this fucking dude sucks, man. Trust me. Do not get involved with him, you know?
Yeah, and the other people are like, no, we're not friends like that. Like, no, what do you have to say about what Ted Cruz said? He said that as a friend, you said this. No, I want to get the record straight. We're not friends.
No, we are definitely. There's a guy he went to college with, his college roommate,
that writes
like these scathing fucking things about him because he's just such a fucking, he's an unlikable, terrible person.
See, I don't know why we're not set. We're set up where a guy like that can succeed. And that seems completely wrong.
He was a fucking front runner, man. Same with that Marco Rubio. His like that dude fucking, they were like, Marco Rubio is going to be the president of the United States. And he couldn't even take care of his cotton mouth. The dude always had a fucking dry mouth, was always having a gaffe with a cup of water.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of embarrassing, though. I don't know. I feel, are we like the age of Aquarius or something? Are millennials just like evolving way too quickly for the rest of the world? Because it's just too fucking slow for me.
Yeah.
Like, I think Ted Cruz is embarrassing. You know, if somebody went out there and was just themselves, it would be way more honest than what these people put forward. That's what's so confusing to me, is why everyone else isn't fed up with this.
Well, I think Ted Cruz was himself, and that's why he was roundly rejected by people.
Too honest. He should have pretended to have a drinking problem or something.
Ugh. These guys were all fucking terrible, though, really. Like, everybody... I mean, everybody was pretty terrible. Bernie Sanders seemed like he could have been something decent, but even he was kind of like, remember, we brought this up last week. He's like, the drone shit I'm fine with. Yeah, and it's like, well, that's one of the big problems. Shit.
Israel's still an ally. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. That means you don't get it. Damn it. Back to the drawing board.
I don't know, man. I would love to see if we could have, if the internet... The internet needs to become the fucking government in some way, or some of these people online that I see that are so fucking brilliant. Like, how do you get them into these old situations, man? This old money and this old institutions and establishments. I mean, it's so fucking shitty to think that during my lifetime, we're going to get a father, you know, a father was the president, then his son, and then a husband, and then his wife. And it's like, it's just embarrassing. Because of like how myopic the whole scope of it all is. To me, I don't know, man. They're not medicating me enough. They're not putting enough doctors in my way to make me shut off my fucking brain. Like, Why do they opiate me? Like, give me the fucking shut off my, like, shut me up. They can't do it. I'm still looking at their world and it's laughable.
Yeah. I'm with you on that, man. I love the opiate of the masses, but they don't let you have it. That's alcohol, but it sucks. Yeah, it's a crummy opiate. You're gonna need to market this opiate of the masses towards me, and you're not doing a good job of that. You're making all the ones I like illegal.
You got me too much time to examine my life and the meaning of it. You fucked
fucking
up,
opiates. Opiates is the opiate of me. But they're illegal and they're a pain in the ass to get, so I can't have them, you know?
It's a travesty, man. Can't even get opiate in the masses in the greatest country in the world.
I know. All right, man. We're going to... So next week is three shows. It might still be two shows. I might, you know... I don't know. My kid's going to camp next week, so I might take advantage of you doing an interview. But,
oh, really?
Maybe not. Who knows? Yeah, I'm thinking about it, but maybe not. You know, because sometimes I just got to get out there and talk. I got to do the thing. You know, I keep saying at the end of the show. This is terrible.
No, I mean whatever. We'll see. I wasn't planning on canceling the show on the air, but feel free to. we will be back next week as always. Like I said, I have an interview planned at some point. You'll get all of that. If you want to help out Street Fight right now, the best thing you can do is donate money. We need it for operating costs. We need it for planning events, for securing places.
Pizza.
If you want to see more, yeah, pizza. We did. Actually, let me be honest. Let me tell you something. Street Fight, I really do. Like, I know that we seem like a bunch of fucking wastoid rejects, but the money I'm very strict about. I appreciate every dollar we get, but Brian and I did use the money to go to a Freddie Gibbs concert when I was back in Ohio the last time. So thank you for that, listeners.
Yeah. I mean, what's the point in making money if you can't go to a Freddie Gibbs concert when it comes to town?
Exactly. Yes. But other than that, I mean, the money, I want money to put towards... I got an idea. I got a guy that I think I can get to do some pretty cool limited run t-shirts. I got some ambitions as far as touring goes. And so any cash you can share with us, I would really appreciate that. If you want links to that, streetfightradio.com/support. There's a link to go through PayPal. So if you got a PayPal account, you can donate money. But even if you don't have a PayPal account, you can just put in your card information and donate. Other than that, Patreon.com is on there as well, Patreon.com/StreetFightRadio. You can donate month to month, and we have some rewards and goals set up there. Right now, $50 a month, $50 a month, you're going to get an interview show once a month. So we're going to bring somebody on to hang out and do a show with us. That's extra content for the money. From there, it goes up and up and up. We'd love to do the show 5 days a week, and I would do the show for 5 days a week if we're making that 5 days a week money. So right now, we're starting at the beginning. Share what you can if you've been a regular listener. Even $1 a month changes everything. To be honest, if looking at the numbers of people, thousands of people that listen to the show, if we got a dollar from all y'all each week, it would make everything different, and we'd have a lot of time to spend on insurrection and making a difference and kind of poking fun and tearing down some of these institutions in place. So please consider that when you are doing your budget this month. Thank you as always. You can find what we do on Twitter at StreetFightWCRS, on Facebook, facebook.com/StreetFightWCRS, and on Instagram at Street Fight Radio. That's the place to get all of your cool ass links. Shout out to Justin. He's been working for us a few weeks now. Been taking care of all those links. So all that badass shit, all that music, all those cool gifts, everything that he's putting up there. Give him a thank you. He's on Twitter at Tree of Woe. TreeOfWhoa. Thank you so much. I got to pay him too. I want to send money his way to keep him fed for all of the cool shit he brings you. But that's where that's what you get if you get on our social media channels. So please do that today. Like us and add us anywhere you can. Spread the word on SoundCloud and Tumblr as well, even. I'm on Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter. The name is the same. It's at Brett Payne, B-R-E-T-T-P-A-I-N. Brian is on Twitter as at Murder Brian, M-U-R-D-E-R-B-R-Y-A-N. And on Twitter, Brian Quimby. I'm sorry, on Facebook, Brian Quimby. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back next week. We are Street Fight. Oh, and thank you. Let me give another one. Sorry. Ion Ohio. Ion Ohio on Twitter. Give him a follow. Cool ass dude. He is the one that suggested we played the song from the last show, The Slits, Pay Rent. It's a good ass song. It's from later albums. We got shout outs from people on Twitter that was like, that song rules. Ion Ohio, that's the cool ass dude that knows about that music. As far as this week goes, I got one for you. It's a guy I've been obsessed with. It's also a recommendation. On Twitter, at TrailerMaker82, TrailerMaker, the number 8, the number 2, TrailerMaker82, sent me some Sturgill Simpson. And this shit is absolutely incredible. Sounds like 70s era Waylon Jennings. It's like a completely perfect country twang, but it has a lot of experimental shit in the music. It's classic vocals combined with psychedelic, big band style, crazy ass musical arrangements. I really love it. Here's a song by Sturgill Simpson from his newest album that came out this year that I don't know the name of right now. Thank you, Trailer Maker 82. We'll be back next week. Come see us June 10th in Columbus, Ohio, Cafe Kerouac. Peace.